to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary
with Professor Jennifer Curtin. Morena, Jennifer, how are you?
Good, thank you.
It's lovely to have you back on the show. First
yes,
one of the year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think we've probably got like a handful more days where we can still say that to each other.
No.
Hey, we've got some big topics to talk about this morning. We've, of course, got a date now for the general election, which is going to be on the 19th of September. So we'll talk about that a bit. We've also got the government's infrastructure spend that was announced yesterday to talk about. But let's start by talking about this big headline that came out in the afternoon yesterday, that the Serious Fraud Office has filed criminal charges over National Party donations. Now, what is this all about and what does it actually mean, Jennifer?
So we know that some years back now, Jamie Lee Ross left the National Party with great fanfare and in the process claimed that he had been involved with Simon Bridges in receiving donations that were being donated and then broken up into smaller chunks in a way that would not necessarily or allegedly breach the electoral laws in respect to donations. So this has been, the Serious Fraud Office said they would investigate this, and I think the big thing about this, there's two parts. Simon Bridges and the National Party Secretary Greg Hamilton have been clear, neither of them are of the four that have been charged. But more broadly, the argument is that the fact that the Serious Fraud Office has decided to lay charges against these four individuals suggests that they have enough evidence to present that may likely lead to some kind of negative result that won't necessarily be about the party, but it will give the perception that the National Party may not necessarily be paying due diligent attention to the way in which they receive their donation.
Do you think this is, because we are in election year, do you think this is going to be detrimental for the National Party in the lead up to this election?
You know, it really, like Simon Bridges is saying he's cleared and this is, you know, drawing a line under the sand on this, but politics is so much about perception, right? Mm. So the perception that there's something dodgy going on will sit around for a while, because we wouldn't imagine the first case hearing isn't going to be until the 25th of February. We wouldn't imagine that that's going to be the end of it. There will be more. So this is going to continue on for a fair few months. And there will be, you know, some sense that maybe even if the named people from National are clear, you know, in the clear, that the party more generally isn't necessarily behaving appropriately. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this is risky for some of the campaign that National will run is that it seems like at the moment that Bridges and others are running sort of what we might call right populist lines on certain kinds of policy issues. Now, what we know about populist rhetoric is that quite often it needs to be anti-elite, focused on all the others are corrupt, don't lack integrity. We understand you, the people, that you need trustworthy politicians to represent the interests of the people. And it's going to be kind of hard for them to run that level of populist rhetoric with this in the mix. The upside, I suppose, for them is Labor has promised a clean, you know, factual, positive campaign. So they as a party aren't going to be able to go up, you know, play dirty sort of campaign politics with this information. They're going to have to leave that to third parties.
Actually, interesting that you brought that up, because I did want to quickly touch on that. We are, of course, leading into the election and we've got this date set now, the 19th of September. What are you expecting we're going to see from various campaigns this year? Because we have seen that the Labor Party said that they are, you know, pledging to, you know, fight clean or whatever. How are you envisaging this is going to roll out? Because I know there was a lot of speculation at the end of last year that this could be quite a mucky campaign year.
Yeah, I still think that there'll be a fair amount of negative campaigning. There's still a risk, just because Labor's signed up to pledge, you know, the Facebook advertising, whatever, that there's going to be a fair bit of negativity and potential misinformation. I think the media will have a stronger role. They should be playing a really strong role in fact-checking some of the statements that get made, because on social media these things can go viral fairly mm-hmm. quickly, and so there's a responsibility on a whole bunch of us to be ensuring that misinformation can be countered. You can't stop it spreading, but it needs to be countered. But I'm imagining that a lot of this will come not necessarily from the campaign organisers themselves, but the supporters out there, like those who were busy doing the turn our doon kind of strategy. It's at that level that we might see a lot of the trolling or the negative stuff that might catch on.
What are the things you're anticipating that we might see come out of this election year in the lead up to the 19th of September?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, apart from all the big ticket items that are going to be given to us this year, because there's a surplus that the May budget may be able to share with even more largesse in the infrastructure package, say. But I think the interesting thing is going to be the two referendums that are running at the same time as the election. Mm-hmm. And these are in themselves really interesting issues, the legalisation of cannabis and the end-of-life legislation. And while this might decrease the focus of voters on especially the small parties' issues, so that's a bit of a negative, mm-hmm. it might also increase turnout, because we know that like 25% of voters don't feel particularly interested in elections mm-hmm. and don't tend to turn out, but they might feel more interested by virtue of having to turn out to vote in these referendums. And they might feel with referendum that their vote is likely to count. So the more efficacy there is around, like, will my vote make a difference, the more likely we are to see increased turnout. So that could be a good thing for this election.
So the third topic I wanted to talk about this morning is the government's $12 billion infrastructure spend announcement that came out yesterday. It's looking like rail, roads and our DHBs are going to be getting some biggest chunks of this pie. What do you think about this announcement? What does it sort of say to you?
Well, first of all, it's a really big spend. Some commentators are saying it's like the biggest infrastructure spend, you know, in the history of New Zealand sort of infrastructure spending. I suppose what I think is quite, I don't know, clever is that the big spend on roads has been in Northland, two key areas in Auckland, mm-hmm. and also in the Bay of Plenty. And what this seems to be doing is neutralising a lot of the opposition, particularly from Judith Collins, Chris Bishop and Todd Muller, who've been arguing that key roads like Mill Road, the Penn Link and also State Highway 2 over near Tauranga, they've been doing a lot of campaigning around that. And I wonder if it, amongst commuters, it's been getting some traction. So this big spend on those three areas plus up Wānga Parāoa and in Whangarei is going to sort of neutralise some of that, but also shore up, in Northland at least, some potential support for New Zealand First, because what Labor and New Zealand First won't want to see happen is National cannibalising New Zealand First's vote to get it to stop it getting the 5% mm-hmm. threshold.
It's certainly going to be quite interesting to see how all of these things begin to pan out as we get closer and closer to September time. I'm interested to see what you think about the money that's going towards the DHBs. Do you think it's enough, and do you think it's going to have a good effect?
Yeah, it's sort of a scattered approach. It didn't look like there was a lot of systematicness to it. That's not a word, but we
it's
know
a, it's a gist, though. Gist.
But we know DHBs, like health, is really needed more money. Mm-hmm. DHBs needed more money in terms of the infrastructure around health. This is a really important investment, particularly in Auckland, but also in the regions. And that demand by DHBs is not going to go away. So I wouldn't imagine that they'll all be happy, mm-hmm. but this is a really important first step. So we've seen them go to paediatrics, to mental health, to a range of types of units and services. So this is good, because health, at the end of last year, some of us were saying that actually health and infrastructure hadn't received quite enough attention, and that David Clark needed to be out there more selling what could be done on health, because every election we know that health, housing, and the economy are, you know, the three items that people are most passionate about when they go to the polls.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Jennifer Curtin, for chatting to us this morning. It's lovely to have you back on The Breakfast Show, and we look forward to hearing more from you in this very busy political year for New Zealand.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Bye.
Morning. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.